Usually when you fire up a video game, there's this inherent expectation of just absolute unbounded freedom.
Oh, for sure. It's totally a space of pure imagination.
Right, exactly. Like you press a button on a controller and you spawn a dragon, or you build a floating castle in the sky, and the game engine just, it simply renders it.
Yeah, gravity is completely optional.
Exactly. The laws of physics are basically just a suggestion in that space. It's clean, it's instantaneous, and it's thrilling precisely because it has no real-world consequences.
Yeah, I mean, it's a digital playground. We fundamentally enjoy those spaces because our imaginations aren't tethered by the mundane laws of thermodynamics,
Or
which,
structural engineering, right?
right, if a digital building collapses, you literally just hit reset.
But then you step onto an actual commercial construction site, and suddenly that limitless freedom is honestly kind of terrifying.
Oh, absolutely.
Because a construction site is defined by the exact opposite of a video game. It is this rigid, unforgiving reality. Like, concrete doesn't care about your imagination.
No, it really doesn't.
And steel definitely doesn't care about your creative vision if the load-bearing calculations are off by even a fraction of an inch.
Yeah, that is like the ultimate definition of bounded constraints. The physical world just demands absolute precision.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive is so vital for you to hear. Today, we are exploring a really fascinating stack of documentation from a system called Structured Layer.
Yeah, this stuff is incredibly cool.
It really is. So we're looking at this collision of two radically different worlds. On one side, we have these hyper-realistic, dynamic digital environments of video games, specifically Unreal Engine.
Right.
And on the other side, we have the grounded, highly regulated, concrete and steel world of architecture, engineering, and construction, which is known as the AEC
Oh,
industry.
yeah, the AEC industry.
So our mission today is to understand how artificial intelligence is being used to build editable 3D worlds for the construction industry. But crucially, not by letting AI just run wild to dream up imaginary cities.
Right. It's doing it by constraining the AI within these incredibly strict human-controlled boundaries.
Exactly.
And this is a vital distinction right out of the gate. Like,
Okay.
if you think of Unreal Engine, it's basically the ultimate digital sandbox.
Oh, yeah.
It is the software architecture behind some of the most stunning photorealistic video games and, film visual effects on the planet. Creators use it to build these massive interactive digital worlds.
Right, but on the flip side.
Right, exactly. On the flip side, traditional construction relies on blueprints and these highly regulated data sets, basically the hard math-heavy documents that tell a crew how to physically build a skyscraper.
Which honestly sounds like oil and water. Like
Yeah.
bridging those two domains sounds impossible, or at least highly dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Because if you introduce a video game's imagination into a blueprint, well, a building falls down.
Right, which is a massive problem.
So the goal today is to unpack how Structured Layer takes the strictness of an architectural blueprint and somehow injects it into the immersive real-time reality of a game engine safely using AI. But to grasp why this specific technology actually matters, we need to first look at the core problem with standard generative AI when it comes to the physical world.
Which is a huge issue right now.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this. I'll play devil's advocate here for a second. I spend time on social media, like most people. And I have seen AI platforms generate an entire photorealistic, futuristic city from a single text prompt in like 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah, Midjourney, DALL-E, all of those.
Exactly. And the lighting is gorgeous, the reflections in the glass look perfect. So if AI can already do that, why do we need a complex new system for construction? Why can't an architect just type, give me a 40-story office building and send that to the construction crew?
What's fascinating here is that the sources make a really brilliant distinction that answers your question perfectly. They separate what they call generative spectacle from inspectable output.
Generative spectacle. Okay, I like that term.
Right, that stunning city you saw on social media, that is a generative spectacle. It's a beautifully rendered image, sure, but underneath the surface, it's completely flat.
What do you mean by flat?
Well, it is just a grid of colored pixels that the AI arranged by statistical probability. You can't click on the image of that futuristic skyscraper and ask the AI, hey, what is the fire rating of the drywall in the third floor hallway?
Oh, right. Because it doesn't actually know.
Exactly. Or you can't ask how many cubic yards of concrete are needed for this foundation. The AI has no idea because it didn't actually build a digital building. It just, hallucinated a picture of one. It operates as a black box.
Okay, so data goes in, a pretty picture comes out, and we have literally zero insight into the logic of how it arrived at that image. It's just surface level.
Precisely. And in the AEC industry, a black box is a massive liability.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot build a $2 billion hospital based on a pretty picture that an AI dreamt up by just scraping millions of other pictures online.
Right, that would be insane.
So the structured layer solution really emphasizes that control generation must always beat black box magic. For an AI output to be genuinely useful in the physical world, it has to stay bounded, it must be modular and editable, and most importantly, every single piece of it has to be reviewable by human experts.
You know, it's kind of like the difference between ordering a baked cake and buying a massive Lego set.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right. Like, standard generative AI is like going to a bakery. You ask for a chocolate cake, and the AI hands you a fully baked, beautiful cake. It's a spectacle. But you can't unbake it.
No, you definitely can't.
Right. If you suddenly decide you want less sugar or you need to swap out the type of flour because someone has an allergy, you can't do it. The ingredients are permanently baked together into a single finished product.
Yeah. You'd basically have to throw the whole cake away and ask the AI to bake a slightly different one and just hope it guesses what you want this time.
Exactly. But this new AI workflow, this inspectable output from structured layer, is completely different. It's like being handed a completed Lego set of a castle. And along with the castle, you are handed the exact instruction manual and a perfectly organized box of spare parts.
Yes, exactly.
So because of how it was built, you can literally reach in, pull off a red roof tile, and swap it for a blue one.
Hmm.
You can ask the system exactly how many gray bricks were used. The underlying structure is editable because it was assembled piece by piece using rules, not just painted into existence as a single irreversible image.
And that modularity, that ability to isolate and swap out those metaphorical Lego bricks, is entirely driven by data.
Right.
Actually, if we map out the historical timeline of the construction industry, this system is really just the next logical evolution.
Oh, so?
Well, 50 or 60 years ago, architects drew on physical paper, right? 2D blueprints. The data was literally ink on a page.
Right, very analog.
Then the industry moved to CAD, computer-aided design. That was a big step, but it essentially just brought those same 2D lines onto a computer screen. A line was still just a line.
Yeah.
Eventually, the industry shifted to BIM, or building information modeling. And BIM was revolutionary because suddenly a digital wall wasn't just two parallel lines on a screen. It was a 3D object that had an actual database attached to it.
Oh, so the digital wall actually knew it was a wall. Like it knew its height, its width, and what it was made of.
Yes. And what we are seeing now with structured layer is the next massive leap. They are taking the really rich, heavy data of BIM and injecting it into the dynamic, real-time rendering environments of game engines.
Wow.
So if you think about it, the future of the AEC industry isn't AI replacing architects or engineers. The AI just acts as an incredibly fast assistant that eliminates the grueling manual labor of 3D modeling. The AI is the assembler, not the artist.
That distinction right there, assembler versus artist, that is the crux of this entire deep dive.
Absolutely.
Which kind of brings us to the foundation of the whole system. Because if the AI is just assembling the Legos, where do those Legos actually come from? Looking at the documentation we have, it's clear you cannot build a trusted 3D world without trusted ingredients.
Yeah, in the structured layer architecture, this foundation is called the data layer.
Okay, the data layer.
And the operating principle here is incredibly rigid. No trusted context means no trusted 3D workflow.
Got it.
Before the AI even boots up, before it attempts to generate a single polygon or pixel in Unreal Engine, it requires a highly structured, meticulously validated foundation of data.
Yeah, the sources actually outline the specific trusted inputs required here, starting with approved BIM models. They mentioned formats like RVT, NWD, and IFC. And, you know, for absolute beginners, it helps understand what these actually are, rather than just treating them as alphabet soup.
Oh, for sure.
So RVT are standard Revit files, which is one of the most common architectural design softwares in the world. NWD refers to Navisworks files, which are heavily used for clash detection and coordination.
Right, basically making sure the plumbing doesn't run straight through a steel beam.
Exactly. And then there's IFC, or industry foundation classes.
Yeah, and IFC is absolutely critical to this whole process. You can think of IFC as the PDF of the construction world.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Like, if you write a document in Microsoft Word and send it to someone using a completely different word processor on a different operating system, the formatting might get completely scrambled.
Right, it's a mess.
But if you export it as a PDF, it locks the formatting in place. Anyone on any machine sees the exact same document.
Precisely. Because in construction, the architect might be designing the building's shell in one specific software, but then the structural engineer is designing the steel skeleton in another, and the mechanical engineer is doing the HVAC system in a third.
So they need a universal language.
Exactly. IFC acts as that universal translator. It locks in the data so that all these different programs can talk to each other without losing the integrity of the information.
That is so smart.
And alongside these 3D models, the data layer also ingests a mountain of project records. We are talking about 2D drawings, written specifications, construction schedules, site photos, legal documents, you name it. It takes all of this chaotic, fragmented, real-world data and feeds it into the system.
Yeah, looking at the data layer documentation, it seems to act like a massive filter. It normalizes and structures everything. Like the sources node, it tracks project IDs, so every single digital asset has a unique identifier.
Right.
And it tracks asset classifications, so the system knows definitively whether a pipe is meant for drinking water or sewage. But the detail that really caught my eye is how it handles precise coordinates.
Oh, yeah, the geospatial stuff.
Yeah. The source explicitly mentions something called EPSG.3857.
Yeah, that is one of those deeply technical details that reveals just how grounded in reality the system actually is. EPSG.3857 is a specific spatial reference system. It is the Webb-Mercator projection, which, fun fact, is the exact same coordinate system utilized by Google Maps and OpenStreetMap.
Interesting. I know map projections can get incredibly complicated because, you know, you're trying to take a round globe and flatten it onto a 2D screen.
Right.
But why is Webb-Mercator so important for a construction AI?
Well, because of exactly that. The Earth is a sphere, or, you know, technically an oblate spheroid, and buildings are square.
Right, right.
So when you are constructing a massive, sprawling complex, the curvature of the Earth actually matters. If you just design a building in a digital void with no real-world anchor, the moment you try to place that building onto an actual plot of land, nothing lines up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the foundations are off, the property lines are skewed. It's a disaster. But by rooting every single piece of data in EPSG.3857, Structured Layer ensures that when the AI builds the 3D model in Unreal Engine, it is placed exactly where it belongs on the surface of the Earth, down to the millimeter.
That is wild.
It mathematically aligns the site surveys, the architectural models, and the game engine environment perfectly.
So it literally anchors the digital simulation to physical reality.
Exactly.
The system also tracks dimensions, revisions. So you have a complete version history of who changed what and when, which is huge.
It's important for reliability.
Right. And it tracks permissions and source references, which link the digital 3D object directly back to the original real-world drawings.
Yep.
And all of this culminates in what the documentation calls BIM cards and metadata chips. And this is where a digital wall ceases to be just a graphic. Embedded inside that wall is a metadata chip.
The metadata chip.
Right. The source gives a great example. The chip contains data stating material, concrete, fire rating, 2HR, load class A, and finish, painted.
Yeah, that metadata chip is the soul of the digital asset. It is what separates Structured Layer from a normal video game.
Okay, wait. I'm struggling with the leap here. From the spreadsheet to the 3D visual.
Okay.
Because the spreadsheet is just text, right? It's rows and columns of data. How is Unreal Engine, which is a software built to render lighting and geometry for video games, how is it natively reading a line of text that says fire rating, 2HR? And turning that into a tangible digital concrete wall that I can walk around.
So that is the magic of how modern game engines operate. Unreal Engine doesn't just draw pictures, it executes logic.
Okay.
Underneath the visual layer, Unreal Engine is driven by code, specifically C++ or its visual scripting system, which they call blueprints. So the structured layer system feeds the structured data, the spreadsheet essentially, into the engine via APIs.
Oh, okay.
And then the engine reads a row of data that says, you know, asset, wall, material, concrete, dimensions, 10 meters long, 3 meters high, coordinates, X, Y, Z.
So it's basically reading a script.
Exactly. The engine has a pre-approved library of digital assets, our Lego blocks. It reads the data, calls up the concrete wall asset from its library, uses matrix mathematics to scale that asset exactly to 10 meters by 3 meters, and then places it precisely at the specified EPSG coordinates. So the visual 3D world you see on your screen is merely a physical manifestation of that underlying spreadsheet. The data is the DNA. The 3D environment is just the physical body that grows from it.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. And if you change a number in the spreadsheet, the engine instantly recalculates the math and redraws the 3D wall. But conversely, if the spreadsheet, the trusted context, is wrong, the 3 model is wrong.
Which perfectly transitions us to the actual assembly line.
Yeah.
So we have our highly organized database of trusted inputs.
Right.
The DNA is perfectly sequenced. The Lego bricks are sorted by color, size, and fire rating.
Right.
How does the AI actually build the environment? Here's where it gets really interesting, because this is where the documentation introduces the workflow layer and the AI and automation layer, right, operating through a strict 5-step controlled workflow.
Yeah, the 5 steps. Step 1 is establishing the defined tool set.
Okay.
The AI does not have a blank canvas. It cannot invent new tools or imagine new geometry. It is restricted to a curated, approved set of commands within Unreal Engine. Well, the sources list specific tools like create parcel, extrude, subdivide, setback, place asset. It's basically the equivalent of giving a carpenter a hammer, a saw, and a measuring tape and saying, you can only use these.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So step 2 is procedural building blocks. This is where the procedural math comes in, right?
Right.
The AI isn't drawing a building by hand. It's executing rules and parameters to manage geometry.
Mm.
The sources actually show a visual progression here. The system takes a flat parcel of land, extrudes it upward into a 3D mass, subdivides that mass into individual floors, and then validates it against the rules. It is a procedural, step-by-step mathematical operation.
Exactly. And how it executes that math is defined by step 3, which is context and instructions.
Okay. What does that mean?
This is where human control dictates the boundaries. The AI doesn't get to guess how tall the building should be based on, like, its training data. An operator feeds the system explicit technical constraints.
Ah, I see.
The sources provide fantastic examples of this code. Things like height max, 75 meters, or setback, street equals 3 meters, step back. Above 25 meter, floor to floor, 3.6 meter use program, Zigazoos.
Let's look at how that actually constrains the AI mechanically, though. Like, if the code says height max, 75 meters, the AI cannot physically generate a building that is 76 meters tall.
Nope, it can't.
Why? I mean, how does a line of text stop a generative AI?
Because it leverages the mathematical boundaries inherent in game engines. In Unreal Engine, every object has what is essentially a bounding box or a collider.
A collider?
Yeah. So when the AI is running its procedural generation algorithm to extrude that parcel of land upward, the height max variable acts as a clamped parameter in the code.
Okay.
It is a literal mathematical ceiling. The algorithm calculates the extrusion floor by floor, so 3.6 meters, then 7.2 meters, 10.8 meters, and so on. But the moment the math hits 75 meters, the code execution terminates.
Oh, wow. So it physically cannot go higher.
Exactly. The AI doesn't have the autonomy to override the clamp. It hits a mathematical wall.
That is fascinating. And that makes the transparency of step 4, which is editable and inspectable outputs, so much more powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Because the AI built the environment using those specific tools and clamped rules. Every generated element retains its history. The documentation gives an example of the user interface. You can click on a specific building in the 3D model. Let's say it's labeled building D27.
Right.
A data panel instantly pops up on your screen revealing the DNA. It says type, mixed use, height, 42.0 meter floor area ratio, 2.8, setback, 3.0 meter status.
Okay.
You see exactly what the AI did and the exact mathematical parameters it used to do it.
And that transparency is the prerequisite for step 5, which is honestly the most critical element of the entire system.
Which is?
Human review and regeneration.
Okay.
A trained professional reviews the 3D result against the project's goals. So if the architect looks at building B27 and says, actually, you know what? The city council is going to want that street setback to be 4 meters, not 3. They don't have to erase the building and redraw it from scratch.
Right.
They simply edit the underlying rule, changing the parameter from 3 meter to 4 meters, and hit regenerate.
And it just updates.
Yes. The engine instantly recalculates the math and rebuilds the geometry. It is an iterative loop, but it's completely closed by human judgment.
The documentation actually uses a brilliant phrase to describe the AI in this setup. They call it a bounded agent.
A bounded agent. I love that term.
Right. It is bounded by approved tools, bounded by approved models, and limited to bounded actions. It cannot invent an imaginary material that doesn't exist in the physical supply chain. It acts on your behalf, but entirely within a padded cell of mathematical safety constraints.
It really changes how you should think about using AI in general, honestly.
It really does. Even for things as simple as writing an email or drafting a report for your own job, think about how most people use tools like ChatGPT today. They treat the AI like an oracle. They type in a blank prompt like, write me a marketing plan, and they just hope for the best.
And the result is almost always a generative spectacle. You get a flowery, generic, ultimately useless document full of corporate jargon.
Right.
And why? Because the AI was left to guess what you wanted based on statistical averages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here is a daily use tip for you listening. If you want to use AI effectively in your daily life, you need to treat it like a bounded agent. You can't give it ultimate freedom.
Never.
You have to give it strict bounding rules, just like they do for these skyscrapers. Give it a highly restricted tool set and technical instructions. Tell the AI, act as an editor. Only use these three attached documents as reference. Limit the output to exactly 500 words. Do not use adjectives.
Yeah, you have to bound the AI to ensure the output is inspectable, verifiable, and actually useful to you.
Exactly.
Clarity and constraints are what elevate AI from a parlor trick to a professional tool. And in the AEC industry, clarity and constraints aren't just good advice for productivity. They are quite literally a matter of legal liability and physical safety.
Which brings us to a massive flashing red warning sign right in the middle of our source material.
Yeah, we have to talk about this.
Because honestly, with the AI generating these complex, highly accurate, mathematically verified 3D models in Unreal Engine, it might seem like the architect's or the engineer's job is essentially done once the 3D world finishes rendering. Like, it looks perfect. It follows the height rules. Let's go pour the concrete, right?
Absolutely not. The sources are incredibly explicit on this point. An editable AI-generated environment is not automatically an approved design. I cannot stress the gravity of that enough.
Editable environment does not equal approved design.
Exactly. Editable output does not and cannot replace professional judgment.
The documentation actually systematically lists out what the AI output does not replace. And it's a very sobering list that really grounds this entire discussion. First, it does not replace engineering calculations.
Right, because we have to remember the difference between visual rendering and physical reality. The AI in Unreal Engine knows how to visually represent a steel beam based on the metadata, sure. It knows the beam is 15 feet long and made of carbon steel, but it does not inherently understand the physical reality of structural load bearing.
Yeah, it doesn't know physics.
Exactly. It doesn't know how that beam will react to the torsional stress of a Category 4 hurricane. It doesn't understand the seismic shear forces of an earthquake. You still need a licensed structural engineer to do the complex physics calculations and legally stamp the drawings.
And the AI also does not replace planning approval. I mean, the engine doesn't know how to negotiate with the local city council or, you know, the neighborhood association who might be furious about the shadow your new 75-meter building is casting on their historic park.
Exactly. It also does not replace code compliance. Building codes are intensely complex, highly localized legal documents. The fire code in New York City is completely different from the fire code in Los Angeles.
Oh, for sure.
An AI doesn't carry legal liability. If an AI generates a staircase that is half an inch too steep, according to local municipal code, and someone trips and is injured during an emergency evacuation, you cannot sue an algorithm.
Well, yeah.
The liability rests entirely on the human professional who approved the design.
The sources also note it doesn't replace BIM coordination or cost validation. Just because the AI perfectly placed a massive state-of-the-art HVAC unit on the digital roof doesn't mean the actual project budget can afford it.
Right.
And it doesn't guarantee that the ductwork running down from that unit won't collide with the plumbing lines hidden in the drop ceiling. To manage all of this, Structured Layer utilizes a rigid human review and approval structure.
And this isn't just a generic approve button at the end of the software process, right?
No, not at all. The loop is closed by specific named human reviewers with defined roles.
Right. The sources outline what is essentially a digital review board. You have architects reviewing the model for design intent, spatial layout, and aesthetics.
Okay.
You have engineers reviewing the structural, electrical, and mechanical systems for physical viability. You have VDC specialists,
yeah,
virtual design and construction. They're the experts who manage the digital models, and they review for data integrity and clash detection. And finally, you have project owners reviewing to ensure the model aligns with their financial and operational goals.
So it's a whole team.
Yes. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, every single one of these roles must review the model, provide documented reasoning for their decisions, and formally approve the output.
Because think about the stakes here. In the digital realm, if you are playing a video game, a mistake is just a glitch. A character's arm clips through a wall. It's funny, someone posts the clip of it online and the developers patch it in the next update.
Yeah, no harm done.
But in the AEC industry, a physical mistake means a building could collapse. A misclash between plumbing and electrical means a project could go tens of millions of dollars over budget while workers stand around on site waiting for a fix. Or worse, people could be hurt.
Exactly. Therefore, the core principle of this technology is that anything affecting the final physical design or the delivery of the construction must remain strictly under human authority.
The AI prepares the intelligence.
Yes, it processes the data at speeds humans can't match, but the human being wields the authority.
So we have covered a massive amount of conceptual ground here. We understand the data layer acting as the source of truth. We understand the AI acting as a bounded agent following strict procedural math. And we understand the absolute necessity of human experts reviewing everything for safety and liability.
Right.
The question now is, what does this actually look like in practice? If a construction firm wants to adopt this tomorrow, do they just fire up Unreal Engine and tell it to build a hospital?
The sources issue a very clear warning against trying to boil the ocean on day one.
Okay, what's the rule?
The golden rule for adoption laid out in the documentation is start with one bounded pilot.
One bounded pilot.
The goal is not to create a fully autonomous, AI-driven virtual construction department overnight. That is a recipe for catastrophic failure. The mantra is start small, learn fast, and prove value. You want to identify narrow, highly visual workflows where a controlled 3D environment can immediately solve a problem.
The sources highlight five specific real-life pilot scenarios where this tech really shines.
Mm-hmm.
And to really understand how this works, let's weave these together and imagine a hypothetical real-world project.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's say a developer is building a massive new hospital complex in a crowded downtown area. The first pilot scenario the sources mention is early master planning and layout options.
This is the perfect starting point for our hospital. So the developer just bought a huge, irregular plot of land. They need to figure out the best way to arrange the emergency room, the patient towers, and the parking structures.
Right.
Historically, this takes weeks of drawing flat 2D maps or, you know, carving physical foam blocks to see how the buildings fit together. But with a bounded AI workflow, they can rapidly explore layout options in an afternoon. They tell the AI, generate option A, a tall, dense tower to maximize open green space on the ground. Then generate option B, shorter, wider buildings that spread across the whole lot. The AI instantly builds those 3D massing models in Unreal Engine, allowing the hospital board to quickly evaluate the site relationships and how the buildings interact with the surrounding city streets.
That is so much faster. Okay, so once they choose a master plan, they have to actually build it.
Mm.
Which brings us to the second use case, construction logistics and phasing visualization.
Oh, this is amazing.
This is where time becomes a tangible dimension in the software.
This might actually be the most valuable application of all. So imagine looking at the 3D model of our hospital site on a monitor, but at the bottom of the screen is a timeline slider.
Okay, like a video play.
Exactly. You slide it to week 4, and the digital environment updates to show excavators digging the massive hole for the foundation.
Oh, wow.
Then you slide it to week 18, and the environment transforms again. The digital tower cranes swing into their new positions, the scaffolding wraps around the third floor, and the staging areas for steel deliveries shift to match the exact project schedule.
So you are visually simulating the entire chronological sequence of construction before a single shovel hits the dirt.
Yes.
The value of that is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine spotting a logistical nightmare, like realizing the tower crane in week 18 won't have enough clearance to lift the massive HVAC units past the new scaffolding while it's just pixels on a screen.
Right.
If you discover that problem in real life, you have 100 workers standing around doing nothing, cranes sitting idle, costing thousands of dollars an hour, while engineers scramble for a solution. It's essentially a time machine for construction.
And that ties directly into the third scenario, site access and safety simulation.
Oh, safety is huge.
Yeah, a hospital construction site in a downtown area is an inherently dangerous place. Heavy machinery, deep excavations, high voltage equipment, all surrounded by pedestrian traffic. Using this tech, a safety manager can plan access routes and isolate hazards in the digital model.
You can simulate exactly where the blind spots are for a massive excavator. You can establish the exact perimeter where safety fencing needs to go to keep pedestrians out of the crane's swing radius.
Exactly.
You are troubleshooting human safety and preventing accidents before a worker ever steps foot on the physical site.
Now let's look at the fourth use case, property and development walkthroughs. Once the hospital is designed, you need buy-in from stakeholders, you know, investors, doctors, board members.
Right. And reading blueprints is a highly specialized skill. If you show a 2D floor plan of a new surgical wing to a surgeon, they might not be able to intuitively grasp the space.
Exactly. But if you drop them into the Unreal Engine environment, they can virtually walk the halls.
Oh, that's so cool.
And because the lighting engine in Unreal is so advanced, you can show them exactly how the natural sunlight will hit the patient rooms at 9 a.m., at dusk, and at night. It builds emotional and practical buy-in based on an accurate, data-backed environment rather than just a flat drawing.
Finally, the fifth use case is testing design scenarios before detail development.
Right.
Let's say halfway through the design process, steel prices just skyrocket. The team needs to know if they can switch to a concrete structure. Instead of spending months detailing the engineering of the new concrete frame just to see if it works, they can test the big ideas fast in the simulation.
Yeah, they compare the impacts of option A versus option B instantly, evaluating constraints before committing to the detailed, expensive engineering work.
The progression of those five pilots paints such a clear picture of why this is revolutionary. But the sources point to an ultimate endgame, a concept that sounds straight out of science fiction. Digital twin interfaces.
A digital twin is basically the holy grail of this technology. It is exactly what it sounds like. A one-to-one living digital replica of a physical asset.
Living, what does that mean?
It means it's not just a static 3D model that you look at once the building is finished. In a digital twin interface, the Unreal Engine environment connects to live, real-time data streaming from sensors inside the physical building.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The documentation shows a phenomenal graphic demonstrating this. It's a 3D model of a multi-building complex. And hovering next to the digital buildings are live data feeds.
Like a video game HUD.
Exactly. It shows the building's real-time energy use, say 245 kilowatt hours per square meter. It shows live water use at 112 liters per square meter. You can visually toggle systems on and off in the 3D model. HVAC, lighting, elevators, fire suppression, plumbing.
Let's bring this back to our hospital. Imagine it's 10 years after construction. You are the facility manager. A sensor flags that a pipe is leaking somewhere on the fourth floor.
Okay.
Historically, you would have to dig through filing cabinets for old, faded paper blueprints, hoping the as-built drawings were actually accurate, and then send a crew to tear open the drywall just to find the leak.
Which is a nightmare.
Right. But with a digital twin, you just open your Unreal Engine interface. The exact pipe glows red on your screen.
Yeah.
You click on it, and thanks to that data layer and the metadata chip we discussed an hour ago, the system tells you exactly what size the pipe is, what materials it is made of, and when it was originally installed.
It's incredible.
You send the maintenance crew to the exact coordinates, armed with the exact replacement part, instantly. You are monitoring, analyzing, and responding to the physical world through a live, interactive 3D video game engine.
It is breathtaking to think about.
It really is. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? If we synthesize everything we've explored today, what is the core lesson? The catchphrase the sources drill into us is, useful pilots start with clarity, not autonomy.
Right.
Whether you are building a $2 billion hospital or just trying to organize the workflows for your small business using AI, you have to establish measurable acceptance criteria up front. You have to define the boundaries of what success looks like before you unleash the technology.
And you achieve that by enforcing the fundamental structured layer principle. Controlled tools plus trusted context plus human authority.
Right.
If you remove any one of those three pillars, the whole system collapses into unreliability and liability.
So let's recap this incredible journey. We started by contrasting the boundless freedom of video games with the rigid reality of construction, exploring the inherent dangers of black box generative AI.
Yeah, those flashy social media spectacles might look great, but they are useless for building the physical world because they are flat, uneditable, and uninspectable.
Right. And from there, we uncovered the solution, a highly disciplined architecture that requires a foundation of trusted data. We explored the data layer, learning how BIM models, IFC files, and meticulous EPSG geospatial coordinates root the digital world in absolute verified reality through metadata chips.
Then we looked at the assembly line itself.
Yeah.
The revolutionary idea of the AI acting not as a free-thinking artist, but as a bounded agent.
Right.
It relies on a defined toolset, procedural mathematics, and strict parametric constraints to generate 3D geometry in Unreal Engine.
And crucially, we learned that this editable output does not replace human professional judgment. It enhances it. The legal liability and the final authority remain firmly in the hands of the architects, structural engineers, and project owners through a rigorous, documented review board process.
And finally, we brought it into the real world. We followed the narrative of a hospital project to see how teams use narrow, highly effective pilots, from master planning and logistics visualization to safety simulations.
Culminating in the ultimate endgame, living, breathing digital twins connected to real-time data.
It represents a fundamental shift in how humanity interfaces with the physical spaces we inhabit.
It really does.
And, you know, it leaves me with a rather provocative thought for everyone to mull over.
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, we've spent our time today discussing the application of this technology to single buildings or perhaps a master planned hospital campus.
Right.
But what happens when this technology inevitably scales? If individual buildings are now being designed, simulated, and monitored as living digital twins inside video game engines, what happens when we scale this up to map entire smart cities?
Oh, wow. Like a synchronized living digital twin of New York City or Tokyo or London.
Exactly. Will the physical world eventually just become a one-to-one hardware reflection of an editable, hyper-optimized software simulation?
That is wild to think about.
Right. Will we manage citywide traffic grids, route emergency responses, and optimize municipal power consumption from inside an Unreal Engine server? And if our physical reality becomes that deeply tethered to a digital interface,
right,
who ultimately gets to hold the edit button?
Wow. That is a haunting and fascinating question to leave us on. Who holds the edit button to reality? Thank you all so much for joining us on this deep dive. As always, keep exploring, keep questioning the digital boundaries being built around you. And remember, just because you can build it in a sandbox doesn't mean it's ready for the concrete. We'll see you next time.